You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning on this April 29th, Tuesday.
Good morning.
And John Hockenberry.
Yes.
The Supreme Court wants your identification.
My picture ID?
Yeah, they
do. Oh, my God. You didn't bring it down here.
Well, they want it.
The Supreme Court wants it?
They want it so that you can vote. The court ruled yesterday, 6-3, that it is reasonable for a state to ask you for an ID when you go to the polls, but not just any ID, one issued by the government. It's an Indiana law, the toughest in the nation, that advocates said was unfair to the elderly, racial minorities, and the poor, who are the most likely not to have a government ID. But those advocates had no real proof these groups' voting rights would suffer. But then again, the Indiana election officials had no proof that the fraud the law was meant to prevent had ever happened in the state. In fact, no one has ever been prosecuted for it. So, Professor Nate Persily, what happened in Crawford versus the Marion Board of Elections? How did the Supreme Court decide the case?
Well, by a 6-3 vote, the court said that voter ID laws are constitutional because they don't burden that many people and that they're justified by the state's interest in preventing voter fraud. And so it gave its blessing to a series of laws, not just the one in Indiana, but around the country, which had been enacted since the 2000 presidential election.
So tell us about those laws, particularly the one in Indiana. What does it require of people, and why did the court decide that it was not an undue burden?
Well, it requires that you produce something like a driver's license or another state-issued photo ID to prove you are who you are. This is an attempt to prevent what's called voter impersonation fraud, the idea that someone might show up at the polls and pretend to be someone else. And it turns out it's a pretty restrictive law in that only certain types of government-issued photo IDs, such as a driver's license or a passport or another state-issued photo ID, are required, whereas many other states allow you to bring a utility bill or just have your signature match the one that they have on the voter rolls.
Now, Nate, you're a professor at Columbia University. You know, is this a serious body of law that's developing related to demanding government-issued IDs at places like polling stations and other sort of civic places where you would show up to have to do various sorts of things?
Well, these laws are new. They're passed since the 2000 election and the Help America Vote Act, which followed that, which was trying to remedy some of the problems from the 2000 election. One of the interesting things is that photo IDs in this post-September 11th era have become so frequent as a requirement to gain access to all types of places that the district court and the circuit court here found that, you know, it's not that big a deal to ask people also to present photo ID to vote.
More than 20 states in the country have these voter ID laws.
Wow.
That you're describing. And will this ruling affect the presidential election this year? Will it affect the voting in the Democratic primary to take place on May 6th?
I tend to think it's probably going to have more of an effect on the Democratic primary than it will in the November election, because Indiana is not going to be a terribly competitive state in the general. But the whole argument that's being made now is that Obama's supporters are, many of them, first-time voters. And these are people that the advocates say are least likely to have photo ID, because racial minorities and those who haven't voted sort of habitually are going to be the ones who don't have the kind of ID necessary to vote.
Do you believe that that's true? I mean, is that statistically really the case? I mean, what are the numbers that might actually be affected in the primary?
The court seemed to suggest that about 40,000 people in Indiana would be affected.
Wow.
But we don't know how many of those people actually would turn out to vote. I mean, one of the things we find, those who do survey research in this, is that, you know, most voters have photo ID. But then again, most voters are themselves sort of higher socioeconomic status. And so if you just look at the aggregate population, yeah, about 40,000 people might not be able to vote. But most voters, or people who have a tradition of voting, are going to have the ID that they usually bring to the polling place.
And we should add also that in Indiana, they say that people can apply to get these IDs for free. So there isn't a barrier of cost to getting these identifications. My question would be, is that being put out there? Do people know that? Is there some kind of public information campaign so that folks who don't have IDs know where they can get one?
Well, they know that they have to come, you know, sort of confront the Motor Vehicle Administration if they want
to get a photo ID.
You know, and that's the prerequisite now to voting in Indiana, which is that you have to go and get, if not a driver's license, at least some other kind of state-issued photo ID. And there is a public education campaign, but, you know, most people don't realize you need these types of identifications in order to go and vote.
Our takeaway question of the day is, what would you change about our voting system in the United States? What would you say to that, Professor?
Actually, I think you know, the nuts and bolts of elections are the things that we have to concentrate on. Things like poll worker training, that we find that all the studies on elections show that the variance between different precincts and different polling places exceeds the variance and the mistakes that, for example, occur with different technologies, and that actually the people on the ground are the factor that makes the most difference.
So keep voting the same, just train the people at the polls better.
Yeah, right? Well,
that's our first suggestion, and suggestions,
and that's
please,
a good one. You know. Professor Nate Persily, professor of law at Columbia, thank you.